Hi, friends.
Hi, friends.
We're back. It's episode 75 of
Yay.
The
I feel like you can celebrate 75
I
because I mean, I feel like that's
feel like that is fair. I mean,
like 75.
it's a good number. I'm here for
It
it.
is.
We are your
Three
hosts.
quarters.
I'm April.
I'm Claire.
And this week we are talking ghosts in media.
Yes.
Ooh. Topic
Indeed.
as provided by Spencer.
I know. I was like, what the hell does that
Anything you want it to mean. It's the magic
Apparently.
of our show.
It is.
All right, but more importantly, Claire, what are you judging this week?
I guess I'm judging myself.
All right.
Okay, I've been cast in a show. It's been 2 years since I've done anything.
Oh, that's right, it has been a while.
And before that, it was like another 2 years, and that part was just like background ensemble bullshit. So, I mean, I'm just like, I'm so out of practice. And I'm like I've got so much stuff to memorize, and it's mostly singing. There's not like a terrible amount of dialogue.
Oh, that's good.
The songs are like so complicated. Some of them, like my solo songs, are not that bad. It's when it's like everybody's singing together, and I'm like, why does this have to be like Sondheim-esque? Why can't this just be normal?
Oh no.
Because the show is next to normal and these songs are next to normal. It's like, oh my gosh, what is happening with these musical numbers? I'm just like, oh, why does everybody have to be singing 18 different things on top of one another? And I'm like, I can't hear what I'm supposed to be singing. And also, I'm just gonna, okay. And also,
And also.
I put in my resignation. I'm just gonna let you all know. I put in my resignation as the president of the board, so I'm telling them I'm going to give him a year. So come this time next year, I'm stepping down. Like, I don't want to be a dick and just be like, peace
Bye.
out. I'm done. Yeah. Transition period, people, because I mean, I've been doing it. I've been on this board for 15 years.
Good
I have been
God.
president. Yes. Well, by this time next year, it will have
Right,
been
yeah.
15. This time next year, I will have been president for, I don't even know, 12 or 13 years.
Good Lord.
Yes.
It's
It
too
is time.
long.
It is time. The time has come. I need to like step back. Anyway, so that also. So it's just like things are, yeah, I'm just tired. Burnout is real, all that. And part of this, our treasurer did not get the rehearsal tracks and would not give our director access to get said rehearsal tracks. So we lost like a week and a half of rehearsal time, just doing music, trying to find
Oh, wow.
bullshit like karaoke tracks on YouTube. So finally, because he kept, he's so, he's old. He's a boomer. He's old. He's a boomer.
Boomer.
He does not like, I can tell you this right now, because I know he's not listening. I'm not going to say his name, but, and I know this, but he does not like the fact that I am younger than him and I'm a female and can like, him, I tell him what to do.
Right.
He does not like that. And he's from the north. He's from like Chicago area. So he's got that weird, like, I don't, you know, personality defect. I don't even know if it's a defect. It's not a defect. That
He doesn't
that's
have
just,
Southern hospitality
he
charm.
does
I
not
understand.
at
I
all.
understand.
And he's just the way he processes things and responds. You're like, whoa, why are you coming at me with that big dick energy when I just asked you a simple question? Like, calm down, sir. What is your problem? Like, so this whole thing, I just feel like it's just been an uphill battle. And I'm like, I just want to learn these stupid songs and get through the show. And this show is so emotional. And I feel like every rehearsal, I'm just like on the cusp of like losing my shit anyway. Like, because this is a heavy, heavy show, and it's not light and funny. No. and playing a woman who is bipolar, and it's just, yeah, it's a lot. I have no frame of reference for any of this because I'm not a mother either. So it's just like I'm out of my wheelhouse with this. I really am.
So what you're saying, this is a true acting experience because you're
Oh.
like, I got nothing. So it's
Yeah.
all pulling it out of the sky.
Yeah. I mean, about the only thing I can pull from is that this person deals with a lot of grief. So, I mean, everybody has their own grief experiences. So, I mean, I have that I can pull from, you know, but I mean, obviously it's not the grief, the exact grief that this woman is going through, but still, it's, I mean, it is pretty intense grief, but it's just, it really is. It's like, I don't know. Again, I'm out of it, out of practice with this, because it's been a minute since I've, you know, having two jobs, it's hard to, and even pulling this off, my manager about had a stroke at my part-time job when I took her my schedule. I was like, I'm sorry, this is what it is. So, and I'm like, it's only for like a month and a couple of weeks. It's not forever. But it's like, this was like a bucket list role for me, and it's just like, I really wanted to do this, so
Yeah, absolutely.
hopefully I can do it justice. That's where I'm at. I really don't have, I don't know, I
Well,
just feel
I
like
was gonna
I'm doing
say,
everything wrong.
maybe by the maybe you should take that feeling and turn it into your character. Be like, well, this feels bipolar to me, where everything I do is wrong and I'm stressed out and I'm lost
Right.
and confused and I don't know what's happening. So just channel that into
Right. And it's weird. I mean, and she gave us understudies. So there is that. Never been in a show where I've just flat out had an understudy, like if something were to happen. So, and she is giving the understudies an actual performance. So there is one performance where I will get to like watch them. But also, it's like when you're in rehearsal, it's like I make choices and then I see what she does and they're not even close. And I'm like, God, am I just like fucking off the mark here? Like, I don't know. It's just think somebody
Oh,
else.
I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, just be confident in your choices. I mean, you grew up
Yeah, and well, and
watching
she
all
did
of the
say, she did
same.
tell me, she was like, do not, you know, if you see some, you know, she's like, don't feel obligated to change what you're doing just because your understudy is doing something different, you know, like when, you know, you make a choice, you stick with it, you know, like if that's what you want. I don't want to feel like I'm
Well,
copying
because
somebody
I
either, you know,
assume
that's.
that the director would direct you if she wanted it to be a different choice anyway. Be like, you know, I like what you did there, but instead think about blah, blah,
Right.
blah. So, like, you know,
Yeah.
you're fine.
Well, that was one, like in the first scene when, you know, she was like, I need you to decide right here, like what kind of mom you're gonna be. You know, because it's like the son comes home late, and she was like, are you gonna be like more angry mom? Or are you gonna be more like guilt trippy mom? Or, you know, like, and it's like that kind of thing. So it's just, yeah.
And you're
But
like,
it's like
I'm gonna be no mom at all. Thank you.
I know I am
Hard
no mom.
pass.
Yeah, right. But it is, it's just, you know, and also it's weird for me because she didn't get the age appropriate males really that she needed. So the guy who's playing my husband is like 23, but the guy who's playing my son is like 25.
It's all
Or
in what
something
you
like
look,
that.
so it's fine.
But also, it's just so weird for me because I'm 39 and the next person who is closest to me in age is 30. And then everybody else is just like
Babies,
babies.
children.
Oh, such babies. All Gen Zers. And I'm just like, who, what am I doing here? Like, that's really where I'm at. I'm just like, what am I doing here? So, yeah. But the other people, I mean, I'm really excited to sing with them because I've seen them do shows and I know they've all got amazing voices and I'm excited to do songs with them. It's just,
Right. No, I get
yeah.
it.
But
It's a
she
lot
puts it
right
into
now.
perspective because she's like, oh, we're like 2 weeks or 3 weeks from opening. And I'm like, fuck. And I feel like I've been to like two rehearsals
Right?
because, yeah, it's just like shit, where I'm at. I'm just like, am I gonna learn this? Am I really gonna learn this? Because shit, it's a lot. It's a lot. Like I'm in the most songs. I nah. Anyway, it's just, yeah, I'm judging myself. I'm being too hard on myself, but
So
it's like,
you can do
geez.
it.
And I just listen to these songs incessantly now, and now they just keep running through my head, and I'm like, oh my God. So yeah, that's my judge is
That's a great
why did I
judge.
do this? All of it. And so I'm just like, oh my God, am I out of my element? Have I just like jumped the shark on this one? I don't know.
I'm
Anyway,
sure you
so
will be
what are you
absolutely
judging?
fine. What am I
We'll
judging?
see.
So
Yes.
I'm judging. It's been an interesting news week this week. I don't know if you've paid much attention because you're consumed in your life, but
Kind of am, yeah.
you may not know that they have the Lisk serial killer, Gilgo Beach serial killer, the one that was dumping bodies on the, I guess it was Long Island, the Long Island one. You know who I'm talking about?
I think so, yes. They caught this
The lo
person?
they did. They caught him
What?
and like he's
I did not hear
confessed.
this.
Yes.
I did not hear this.
I'll have to,
No.
I've already forgotten his name, so give me a second. His name is Rex Heuermann.
Was he killing women? Is that what? Was
He
it
was, yes, he was
a bunch of
killing
girls?
women and leaving their bodies on Gilgo Beach, on Long
Yes.
Island. But
Wow.
apparently, like he is a 59-year-old architect, and he eventually was found because he left like his wife's hair was on a lot of the bodies of the women. The wife had nothing to do with it.
What?
Like he has,
But the fact that like that's how they kind of
like he was
connected it.
able to connect it. I mean, it's kind of
That's
insane.
crazy, right?
So he has been charged with 3 counts of first degree murder for the killings of Melissa Barthelemy in 2009 and Megan Waterman and Amber Costello in 2010. And he, let's see. He's also the prime suspect in another disappearance, but they haven't tied him to that one yet. But these are all the women who were like they were escorts and they were murdered.
Yes.
A crucial break came in the case in January when investigators took a swab from leftover pizza crust that he discarded in the trash outside of his Manhattan office. The DNA evidence linked him
Wow.
to hair found on the burlap sack where Waterman's remains were found. So, like, he has a wife and kids.
Those are always the one that blow my mind. These
And they
people
have,
who have
like,
like
no
actual
idea.
families and lives, and they're functioning members of society, and they do this like in the shadows, and you're like, holy
Well, it's
shit.
like, wife and kids go to visit family for a weekend, and he's just like, I'm gonna go get an escort and murder her, leave her remains
Right.
on the beach. Like, it's
I know, that's crazy.
bizarre. So that was huge news this week. So that's very exciting because I always like when they get horrific serial killers that deserve to be in jail forever.
Right. Yes,
But
definitely.
also a weird thing happened this week where an Alabama woman disappeared after calling 911 because she saw a toddler on the side of the interstate.
I have heard this. Yes,
And
yes, yes, yes.
so like she called 911 and they dispatched people to her. She after she hung up with them, which I'm surprised they let you're not supposed to hang up with 911. You stay on.
Yeah, they always want you to either like stay on the phone or,
But
yeah.
she hung up with them and called a family member and they could hear her talking to the kid and then she screamed and the phone just went silent. And so when the police arrived just, a few minutes later, they found the car, they found her phone, but they didn't find her or a kid. And this morning, apparently she has returned home. She showed up. I don't know. They've got not gone into details, so she is okay, but I have no idea what's happened to her. But that's horrifying. 'Cause
That's
like it
nuts.
immediately became like it went way across social media, 'cause it's like,
Right.
the human trafficking uses kids to lure women. I'm like, if I see a toddler in their state, I'm just passing right on by,
You're
man.
like, nope.
Bye. Best of luck. Like, I'll call, maybe I'd pull over, call 911, and like watch the child. I'm like, I'm watching the child, but I'm not gonna get out and get it because I ain't getting got. Thank
You're like,
you.
nope.
Hard pass. So it's been an interesting week, but also one of my favorite things that happened this week in the news. DeSantis had to let go some of his campaign team because they're not meeting fundraising goals.
Oh, that's sad.
May he fucking die.
Boo.
Continue his downward spiral of the rest of the United States being like, hard pass, buddy. Hard pass. Florida's lost its goddamn mind. We don't want that nonsense.
Right.
So that brought me joy because my mother has been preparing me for a DeSantis presidency for the last 4 years. And I'm like, please, Lord Jesus, no. Haven't
What
we
a
suffered enough
sock.
in America? Haven't we suffered just enough?
Right.
Yeesh. So those are my top three news stories this week that I wanted to make sure I
Yay.
shared with you. Because
Yes.
there's some bad things, but they all, like, we caught the serial killer, so yay.
Yes.
The woman disappearing was terrifying, but she's
She's home.
home. We don't know anything else yet. So at least she's home, whatever else
Right.
happened. And also DeSantis is failing. Yay! Keep failing.
Hooray.
Keep failing, DeSantis, because you're on my list of people that I need to just disappear.
Right. He's a cookie day person.
He is shaping up to be a cookie day person, isn't he? He's just not great.
Nope. Not at
But
all.
those are my judges for the week.
Yay.
I'm back after a week of vacation with my family, so that was lovely. And I'm happy to try and get my life in order today.
Yes.
Although I will say, sort of extra bonus judge, we really need more trains in this country because riding the train is the superior way of travel. I'm just telling you. It was magical. I flew in yesterday to LaGuardia and my plane arrived early and traffic wasn't too bad to get to the train station from the airport. So I was able to catch an earlier train and I just changed my ticket on the app and moved on.
Not.
Like I didn't have to like sit around the airport for hours because you can't do that on.
Ah, nice.
I changed it. It was like a $10 difference in ticket price of what I'd already paid. So I only paid 10 more bucks. I'm like, worth it to get home 2 hours early. Thank you.
Right. So you didn't
So
have to like sit there and wait. Yeah.
yeah, I was like, this is great. I love trains. So we need more
You
of
could
that.
just like simply change it.
Yeah.
You don't have to, it's not a hassle.
Nope.
It's not.
Nope.
That is magical.
And like, I could do it. Like, I did it maybe an hour before. Like, you can do it. You can walk on the train and do it, quite honestly, because they just check your ticket once the train gets going. They'll charge
Right.
if you can get on a train without having a ticket, they'll just charge you full price instead of the nice deals you get on the app.
Right.
But yay, Amtrak. What?
I know when you tell me you're like, yeah, like we can just hop on a train for like 17 bucks and go into
We
New
can
York,
just
and I'm like, that sounds
hop on a
super
train.
exciting to me. I can't wait to visit.
So each train is different. So like there's different prices depending on which
Right.
train and how far you're going and blah blah blah. But still
Right.
worth it. And what's super great is that the Penn Station, which is the one in New York City, is right downtown. It's right next to the Empire State Building. So like you're basically just downtown, downtown when you get off that train.
Nice.
So cool. But
That's excellent. I feel like America has missed the memo on
right. Well, and
trains.
so like I'm sitting in my train seat, my coach train seat, and I have all this room. I am comfortable. Like I, you can even, what's fun is you can bid to upgrade if you want to like be in the business class, like especially if you have a longer train. Like you're able to bid on a seat so that you're not paying the full price. You can put in a bid amount in order to get upgraded. They don't have to accept it, of course, but if it's like a really low capacity, like if there's not that many people on the train, they'll accept the low bids, and so you can get bumped up for, you know, like nothing. I'm like, woohoo! So that's fun. So I'm here to
Nice.
tell everyone to love Amtrak and convince your local government that trains are important and we need them. But
Nice.
that's all. Okay. Sorry. That's it. That's all my teaching. I swear this time. I swear. All
Nice.
right, guys. Are you ready?
Yes.
So today's topic, as I said, is ghosts in media. And I have decided to do mine on The Haunting of Hill House, one of my all-time favorites.
That TV show is so creepy.
So, one thing about me is that I love scary horror type things when the house is a character, like when it is almost its own being. It brings me all the joy. I don't know why, but it's my favorite trope, and I want it and I need it. And I'm pretty sure I have Shirley Jackson to thank for it. So
Yes.
I will tell you, I didn't have a whole lot of sources for this. Just Wikipedia, Vulture, and me watching all these things.
Yes.
So The Haunting of Hill House was a book first. Yay!
Yes, it was.
It was written by Shirley Jackson and was published in 1959, so not as old as you'd think. It is a story about a house. It's Hill House is basically a mansion that's located in a non-specific place in the book. It's just like it's in the hills of this town, but like outside of town, and no one in town goes anywhere near it. And in the book, you know, there are four main characters: John Montague, who is a doctor and is an investigator of the supernatural. Eleanor Vance, who is a shy young woman who resents having to care for her demanding and disabled mother. And Theodora, who is a bohemian artist who's there, and she only has the one name. We never know her last name. And Luke Sanderson, who is the heir to Hill House, who is, I guess, technically hosting them. So basically, the premise, you probably all know this, but I'm going to give you a refresher, is that Montague wants to prove that supernatural exists. And so he, in the beginning of the book, has written to all sorts of people that have had some kind of a supernatural experience that has been documented, like newspaper stories or something like that. And of all the people that he writes to, only Eleanor and Theodora write back. So he gets them and he goes to Hill House, with the permission of Luke, who is the current owner. There is, of course, a Mr. and Mrs. Dudley, who are caretakers of the property and who refuse to stay there at night. And throughout the course of the book, the four of them experience like some strange things, the unseen things that cause noise. There's like weird ghosts roaming the hall, strange writing on the walls. I feel like when I read it, it's been a while. It's also one of those where the rooms kind of move, like they would tie a rope somewhere to try and
Yeah.
find. And so the rooms kind of move around, and throughout the book, they all kind of have weird experiences, and Eleanor seems to have maybe more weird experiences, and it becomes strange. She and Theodora at one point are in a room together and they're freaking out because stuff's happening, and she assumes Theodora's hand, but later she thinks it couldn't have been Theodora's hand. She wasn't near me. Whose hand was I holding? You
Right.
know, that kind of creepy stuff. My memory of the book is that it's very psychologically messed up because you're not really sure what's happening. Because there's like this weird triangle thing where like Eleanor is in love with Luke, but it seems like Luke is actually in love with Theodora, and she thinks she sees
Yeah.
them together at some point when they're not. So is she hallucinating or is it the house?
Yes, there's a lot of like, whose head is messed up? Like, what's happening here?
Well, and so like, they all start freaking out about Eleanor. They're concerned about her. She's not acting right. So they finally convince her she doesn't want to leave. She basically thinks Hill House is home now. And they're like, no, you really have to go. You have to go. So she finally gets
Right.
into her car because she's driven out there. So she finally gets into her car and they kind of force her to leave. And as she's driving off the property, she instead drives off the road and into a tree and dies. So that she's there forever too, I guess. But
Yay.
it was a huge hit. A lot of horror authors today say that this is, if not the scariest book they've ever read, one of them. And I'm like, okay, we have different concepts of scary now, but that's okay. This was also 1959. What do I know?
Right.
I will tell you, it has one of the first, like, opening, one of the best opening paragraphs of a book. It starts, "No live organism can continue for long to exist sanely under conditions of absolute reality. Even larks and katydids are supposed, by some, to dream. Hill House, not sane, stood by itself against the hills, holding darkness within. It had stood for 80 years and might stand for 80 more. Within walls contained upright, bricks met neatly, floors were firm, and doors were sensibly shut. Silence lay steadily against the wood and stone of Hill House, and whatever walked there walked alone." Creepy. Just a creepy thing.
That is creepy.
But so what was fun about this book is that so Shirley Jackson, who terrifies us all with short stories like The Lottery. Anyone?
Yes.
Anyone? Oi.
Yes. No.
To me, that's one of the short stories that made me just kind of go, like, I'll think about every once in a while that short story will pop in my mind
Right.
and I get creeped out by it. I'm like, God, okay. But so she decided that she
Exactly.
wanted to write a ghost story because she read about a group of 19th century psychic researchers who studied a house and were trying to and reported their scientific findings to the Society for Psychic Research. But she found that their reports were very dry and boring and not really a story of a good haunted house. And so she decided
Well, I
that,
mean, because they're scientists. I mean,
yeah.
scientists are usually not going for like, it's
Eh,
creepy. It was
they
like,
really
it's
should
all
not.
very like matter of fact. Like, it's like,
So
I'm not
she,
going to go to a scientific journal for spooky
but it inspired her to be like, I want to write that story, but as a ghost story. Like they come
Right.
to the house and it's spooky and scary and blah, blah, blah. But she apparently found a house in California that she saw in a magazine that kind of became her inspiration, which bizarrely ended up being her own great great grandfather. She was an architect and he had designed that house. She didn't know
Oh,
that at the
wow.
time. She's like, oh,
That's
weird.
funny.
And she read a bunch of like ghost stories, the traditional kind of ghost stories that
Right. Yeah.
existed, and she was getting into it. And she said, "No one can get into a novel about a haunted house without hitting the subject of reality headlong. Either I have to believe in ghosts, which I do, or I have to write another kind of novel altogether." So it's like, yeah, you're right. You kind of have to believe in ghosts, I guess, to write a truly compelling haunted story. Because
Right.
something I was reading was talking about a specific horror author who thought this was one of the best horror novels ever written, saying that as they read it, they were compelled, like it really creeped them out because the way that she would describe stuff in the book, they were like, she has absolutely come in contact with ghosts in her life. This is her telling her own like interactions with
Right.
ghosts, and I'm like, ugh. That's creepy.
You're like, that makes this shed some new light on this book for me, you know?
But like it was a huge success. It got nominated for several awards and
Right.
very quickly was adapted into a movie in 1963 called The Haunting. It was British and directed by Robert Wise, starring Julie Harris, Claire Bloom, Richard Johnson, and Russ Tamblyn. And it basically follows the book. So if you want to see a movie that's following the book without having to read the book, because that's not your life, that's fine. Watch the 1963 version, because it's basically the book. Now, if you're like us and you were a teen in the late 90s, then you remember the 1999 version, also called The Haunting, that
With
was directed
is that
by.
Liam Neeson?
Directed
Yes.
by Jan DuBont, starring Liam Neeson, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Owen Wilson, and Lily Taylor.
Yes.
And that is the one that we all remember, and it took a few liberties.
You.
Yes, instead, in that movie, they are brought to this house under the pretense of research into insomnia. But again, the doctor has chosen people to come based on them having some form of supernatural experience. So they end up at this crazy house, and it focuses a lot more on the cranes and their backstory, which the book has some of. Like, I mean, it talks about it.
Yeah.
But like in the 1999 movie, it's all about children being worked to death or something. I don't quite
Yes,
remember.
like it was like how horrible they were and to these
To these
children at the
children,
yeah, it was like what?
and Nell in her slow descent into insanity is she's trying to save and help the children, the ghost children, and
Yes.
you're like, the fuck? And there's all these weird like demon faces and cherub faces and
Because it's
everything.
all like in the like woodworking and like in the I remember that giant ass fireplace, and it's
Yes.
like, what is
Yeah.
this?
So like, whoa. But I specifically remember it because you're like, that's fucked up, man.
It was very, it was extremely fucked up. I was like, what?
What you may not know about the 1999 version is that in the 90s, Stephen King was pitching a project to Steven Spielberg about doing a remake of that movie, of doing, before the 1999 one came out, of doing another version of The Haunting of Hill House, of adapting that story into something else. And just kind of updating it, making it more scary or whatever. And so they wrote a script, and but Stephen King, or not Stephen King, Spielberg demanded more thrills and more action, whereas King wanted more horror. And so they ended up shelving the project. And even though they'd worked on it for several years at that point, and King ended up buying back the rights from Spielberg so that he could maintain the rights. So even though there was a 1999 version that came out of The Haunting, another thing came out in around, King brought it back out in 1999, and in a couple of years, he put out a mini series in which he was doing what he wanted, like taking The Haunting of Hill House, kind of changing it, adapting it, and it became one of my favorite random scary things, Rose Red.
Okay,
And I'm like, where the house is a character, and
yes,
it does a lot of those things. Like it has the rooms that move and change, and it still has that
yes.
group. It's like the initial inspiration for Shirley that has the group of researchers coming to try and prove that supernatural things occur by bringing in people who've had supernatural experiences, and that still has the only heir of the estate is there, and like it's the whole, it is still the same bare bones story of the Haunting of Hill House, but Stephen King updated it into something else. And I mean, when you watch it, and everyone should watch it, yeah, it's old. You can tell it was made in the 2000s, but I argue the storyline still stands up. I mean,
Oh yeah. Like if you updated
it's
some of the
so good.
graphics and that,
Yeah, I wish they would remake it, because it's one of my favorite random Stephen King things, because it's my favorite kind of ghost story. I love it. But then, of course, we come to the most recent version of Hill House, and that is the Netflix series that we all love, because it was perfect.
It was really good. It was so
It
good.
was so good. So that one, directed by Mike Flanagan. And it is more loosely based on the book by Shirley Jackson, because it focuses a lot more on the family. It has like two timeline plots that it's following, because it's like them as children in the house when all the scary things were happening, and then them as adults trying to deal with what happened, because they, you know, fled in the night, ran away in the night from the ghosts. But it does some, I feel like that series updated the horror genre in a way that I love. It had some of the scariest ghosts I think I've ever experienced. Bent neck lady is terrifying. Also is a tall guy, tall ghost guy, which is horrifying. But one of the things about that movie, that series, that, you know, really sticks with me, and you know, we watched, Claire and I watched it together not long ago, is that there are all these scenes where they're just kind of walking around or doing something normal, and you feel anxiety and you feel fear, and you're like waiting for something to happen, but nothing happens. Everything is fine. They're just walking down the stairs. It's no big deal. And you don't really understand why you are so on edge, like what it is about it. Like, is
It's
it?
like any moment something's just gonna like jerk the
Yes.
rug out from under you and you're gonna be like, this is terrible.
And then it's none of the, like, I mean, there are those moments where it's like something bad's gonna happen and something bad happens. But there's so many innocuous things that just feel terrifying. And that's because there are so many hidden ghosts in that show. So, Mike Flanagan said, "We actually hid dozens of ghosts throughout the series in plain sight, in the deep background of shots. We don't call any attention to them, but they're there. If you look in a door frame, or under the piano, or behind a curtain in a lot of otherwise ordinary scenes, you'll see someone there." And I think that we all are just catching, like, unconsciously, that something else is there, and that's why we're so on edge. Because I sent you some pictures. There's a million, but I only sent you a handful. And of
And I was
course, I'm gonna throw
because when
these
you were
up.
like hidden ghosts, and so I like zoom into all of them, and I'm like, oh shit, that oh my God, like that's creepy AF. Like, I'm like zooming in, I'm like, oh God, like looking at my phone, like, oh shit.
And so, like, there are in the Vulture magazine article that I read, there's like they found 29. Another random article somewhere with someone else, I think, mentioned like 33. So like there's even more than they've found at this point. But I sent you a few, and I'll pop them up so you guys can join the fear factor with us. But in the first one, you'll see Stephen and his father fleeing the house. They're running, trying to get out of the house. It's the night that everyone's escaping. And they don't have time to turn around and see that they're not alone in the foyer. And like, there's not like just one. There are multiple like creepy people like in the shadows, or like you'll just see a bright face. And they're just like watching, and it's
Just
creepy.
standing there.
And like maybe in that scene you're expecting, because they're fleeing, like they're actively scared, shit, bad shit's going down. You're like, okay. But then you'll see just a picture of the mom standing in a doorway, and there's a clock behind her, and then randomly you can just see like half of a
face.
face.
I know,
It's
it's
like
like,
peeking in
what?
and watching. Or like walking in a room and you just see like the silhouette of half of a woman kind of standing, and it's all dark, so you're not noticing this when you're really watching. Like you might have picked up a couple, but like a lot of these things I absolutely was not paying attention to, and it's
No, because
just
you're
these
paying attention to like the front
random.
action. You're not paying attention to the background. Yes.
And so it's ugh, it's gross.
It is gross. You're like, oh God, there it is.
One of
Ah.
the creepy ones, it has Theo as a kid walking through the house, and there's just this bald man standing in the hallway behind her, and you're like,
Right.
ugh.
I know. You're
I'm
just like, oh
like
God.
looking behind me. Anything behind me?
Right.
Although honestly, the one that creeped me out the most is Nell gets yelled at for drawing on the wall when she's a kid, but she didn't do it. And Theo comes into the room where Nell is just standing there, and you can see that there's something under the piano.
Under the
You can
piano,
see the
like the
hands, and
hands, and
I'm
it's
like,
like, ah.
oh
I
my God, oh my God, oh my God,
know, because I'm like zooming in on that one and I'm scrolling around, and then I saw the hands. I'm like, oh gosh, no.
but like there were several, there must have been like ghosts that preferred the stairs, because there are several of them that were like that, the big stairs going down. There would just be two or three like shadow looking people just standing around the foot of the
Just
stair, you know, just kind of standing in the background. You're like,
hovering.
what the heck, the heck, the heck. So,
Right.
but I mean, still one of my favorites. I've watched it, I guess, twice now, because I watched it once with an ex who shall not be named. And then oh, maybe I watched it 3 times. I think Spencer and I watched it again randomly. And then Claire and I watched it. And I'm probably going to watch it again this October because it's my favorite one. It's so good.
It
Oh,
was a really good show.
although I think, oh God, I hope it's already done because the strike and everything. But like, supposedly this October, the fall of the House of Usher is supposed to be Flanagan.
Ah,
I don't know
yes.
if it's already filmed, because you or if it's all done or whatever, but
Right.
I'm dying for that because that is also a House's
Yeah, that
character.
one.
House's character, personal favorite. But like I think of all the weird like spin-off things that are similar, like you can tell they were inspired by the Shirley Jackson novel and subsequent movies. But like our favorite book, Claire, by Riley Sager, Home Before Dark. Guys.
I'm reading that, or I listened to that one on Audible, and the whole
So
time I'm
good.
like, this is giving me Hill House vibes. The whole time. It
Yes.
was like,
Oh, it's so good.
it was so good.
I love it so much. Also, read the newest one, the newest Riley Sager. I think it's
That's one left.
the last one left.
Yeah.
Oh man, it's good. It's a good one. It's a good one. Because it also has a little bit of House's character, not quite as strong, but
Right.
I just, oh, I love it so much. I need a nice spooky house to be weird, where weird things happen, and you're just kind of like, what's behind me? But that's it. That's my story on The Haunting of Hill House and how it started off
Nice.
as, you know, just some writer being inspired by very bland scientists trying to prove hauntings exist and being like, you know what? I'm gonna make this better.
Like, I'm gonna write a book about it.
And now I have magical things like Mike Flanagan's series on
Yes,
Netflix.
I know.
It's also apparently been turned into a play, so I would totally be in that play. I think I would make an excellent Nell. I think I could
We
lose my
did
mind.
that. We
So.
did that last year, Haunting of Hill House. It's very much like the book,
Which, to be
so
fair,
it's a
the book is good and it's spooky. It's
yes.
just
It's a little
not the same
dry.
kind of spooky as I
Yes.
would say Stephen King, but I sometimes think Stephen King is too verbose, so
Yeah.
personal thing. He has the best
But
plots. I love his plots. Love them. I get a little bogged down in his writing sometimes.
it's the play's a little wordy. It's heavy, it's wordy. So like our director, he cast a bunch of extra people as ghosts.
Oh,
And then
that's
you
right.
did that. And so, like, when they're coming to the house and they start pulling sheets off, he had people like hiding under furniture and, and they're there and they crawl out. And it was,
And
I
like
mean,
no one sees them, but the audience
yes,
sees
like
them.
they're
Well,
just
and that's what
ignoring
these are.
them. Yes. And that was like what was really, yeah, he did a really good job doing,
And say
that
that's
aspect of it. He took it and made it his own because, like you said, the script is very kind of dry and,
what
well,
and
it's di very dialogue heavy.
yeah.
It's just, yeah.
Well, because it's also like in the book, and I assume the script, it's a lot of, yeah, the house has a sordid history of murders and deaths or whatever, but is it the house or is it actually Eleanor? Like,
Yes.
is the house evil and possessing Eleanor, or is Eleanor possessed
Crazy.
and then it's
Yes, is
expanding to the
she? Yeah.
house because she's there? It's like, I
Right.
don't know. It's wild.
Yep.
That is one of my favorites. I feel like it's the
Yay.
best portrayal of ghosts in media because it's kind of crossed the gamut and become the expectation, I think, of what ghost things should be like now in movies,
Right.
where it is just this unsettling feeling because you're not perceiving all the things that are actually in the shot, but you're still picking up on them.
Yes.
There it is.
Nice. Well, that was excellent.
Thank you. Thank you. Everybody go watch it. Find all the hidden ghosts.
Yes.
They're probably looking at you right now, so there's that.
Oh,
All right, Claire, what did you bring us for Ghosts in Media?
gonna be talking about some of my favorite ghost movies slash TV shows.
Yay!
I did, well, you talk about this one was almost on my list. We're gonna do honorable mention because you said House is a character. Monster House
House is a
was my
character.
honorable mention because I thought for a cartoon that thing was like, God, this is intense for a cartoon. Like, damn.
Yeah, I watched it and I was like, I'm a little scared, actually.
I know, right? Like, I'm like,
like, I know
this
this is
is
a
slightly
cartoon, but I'm a little
terrifying,
creeped out in this moment,
because
so.
that was the three children. It's the one where the house, nobody goes in the yard because it's the old man who lives there. He's like, get off my lawn, but it's like if you lose something in the yard, it just disappears. Like, you're never gonna get it back.
The house eats
And
it.
yeah. But these kids figure out that ultimately what happened is, spoilers for all this shit. I mean,
Yeah, sorry. You've had time. You've
this
had
stuff is
time.
not new. Yeah, none of this stuff that I have on this list is new. So, spoilers, you've had time. None of this is like anything is like within the last year or so. So, yeah, you're on your own. But they eventually figure out that this man had a wife. She was very heavy set. She was almost like in a freak show kind of thing. Anyway, she died. And she actually fell into like the cement while they were building this house. And so he just continued to build the house around her. And so basically her spirit was the house. And so she was very possessive of him and didn't want anyone coming around. So she was the house. And then it became this, they realized that they had to like help him set her free. Get her spirit out of the house. And so that was the story of that movie. And I mean, it was pretty intense because I mean, the house literally did become a monster and actually got up and like chased them to a certain extent. I mean, it was wild. It became, I was like, this was more than I bargained for with this movie. Yeah, honorable mention on that one because that almost made my list because I was like, oh, that one was pretty good though. So I did 10 on my list. The Others with Nicole
With Nicole
Kidman.
Kidman,
Yeah,
yes.
2001 movie. She's a mother who has two children and they both have light sensitivity issues. And she's in this house and it's this whole thing about don't open the curtains during the day, lock the door behind you so they can't accidentally walk into a room where the curtains might be open because they'll get burned, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But it's the whole trope of ghosts who don't know they're ghosts.
I
And
love
that
it.
was like the big twist at the end is, these
There.
People come to help her, you know, they come to help her. These kind of, it was two women and a guy come to help her run this estate because her husband's away at war or something like that. And, you know, come to find out they're all dead. Shock,
And all
surprise.
my favorite though is like the seancey things when you're like they're contacting
Yes.
like the previous spirits. You're like, no, they're contacting the people who aren't dead that are contacting them who are dead. It's just a whole mind fuck.
I know, yeah. When you find out, you're like, wait,
Like
whoa.
the
And you're like, oh, she was so overcome with grief when her husband died in the war. She
she
killed
killed
her
them.
children and then herself. WTF. You know, it was just
Right?
this
Yeah.
whole thing. Yeah, it was like, that was one of the ones, like, when you finally, like, the twist, because you think, this is really spooky. The house is haunted and they have to be in the dark all the time because these kids have light sensitivity issues. And then you're like, wait, what? No, they're actually dead. Holy shit. I remember seeing that in the movies and it was intense.
It
I feel like
was.
it was intense. Especially when everything starts to come to a head at the
Yeah,
end.
because when you're
And
like, oh, she killed them, because that's dark all on its own, man. You're like, yeah.
And you get this old woman and you think that this old lady is this ghost, and then it's like, oh no, she's not the ghost, she's the
She's the
medium
medium.
from the people who are alive. And it's like, oh my
From the
God,
present
this whole
day. Yeah,
thing.
yeah.
Yes, that was like, yeah, that one didn't impact on me because I was just like, this is wild. Yeah, ghosts who don't know they're ghosts, that's another. I
Well,
kind of
and
like, I kind of dig that trope too, the whole ghosts who don't realize they're ghosts, and then it's like, wait, what?
it absolutely impacts how we believe ghosts, because like we have that in our minds now. It's like, well, they don't even know that they're dead. We have to help them. You're like, do we? Don't shouldn't they know? Isn't that like a given? But
Yeah. Their whole, like, there's that whole, like, wall, like, they can't even see, you know, they think that we're the ones who are the ghosts. And that's like the whole sense of reality is wild. Okay. Next on my list, Ghosts, the TV show. And
I love
there are two of them.
that show
There's the
so
British version and the American. I love both of them.
much. Yes. I do too.
I have
But
watched them both.
I honestly think the American version's a little bit better.
I know.
And
I
like,
kind of just.
not to me, this is just,
They're two
this
different
is me
vibes.
nitpicking. The thing, because like I like the ghost in the British version slightly more because there's a lot more diversity and time periods you can pull from. But the husband in the British version mumbles, and I don't understand what he's saying all the time.
Oh,
And
okay.
it irks
Gotcha.
me because I'm like, dude, enunciate. It's your literal job. Your literal job. Enunciate just a little bit. Like, I have to have the subtitles on
I
sometimes
do
because
that
I
a
can't
lot with
always
British
catch what
TV
he's saying.
shows anyway, because sometimes their accents are so thick. It's
Right.
like,
No, that's
wait,
fair.
what?
But he has like a lower voice, and so if he isn't being very clear, it's a mumble and it irks me. But that's okay. But no, I love it. It's so good. I love it so
But
much. It's
yes,
so
both of
good.
those, both of them, because it's like she's the wife in both of them, is the only one who can see these ghosts, and the husbands cannot. And it's funny. And they're different vibes because, you know, British
Yes.
humor is different from American humor. I like them both. I thought they were both good shows. So I dig them both. And I love like how they're different time periods, and like each ghost only really knows things from their time period. And so when the people bring in stuff from current day and they're like, ooh, what is this? And I love the fact that when, especially in the American version, that whenever one of them crosses over, they call that, they're like, so and so got sucked
Sucked off.
off.
No.
It's just like, and at first she's like, what? Why are we saying this? You know, it's just like, but in both of them, neither one of them could see the ghosts in the beginning, and both women in each show had a near-death experience where they were technically dead for like so many minutes and then wound up being in a coma. And then because they had sort of died for a second and then come back and were in the coma, that now they can see and speak to the ghosts. And so now it's like she's the only one who can communicate with the ghosts, and the husbands are always like, "Are they in the room?" And she's like, "Yes," you know,
My
or he'll be
favorite
talking, and she's like, "They're not in here right now," you know. It's that.
thing is when like the husband is in a room alone, but like all the ghosts are in there and something dramatic happens, like a gate to hell opens up and they're going like they're all
Yeah.
screaming and like the husband is just like doo -doo -doo -doo
He has
-doo
no
-doo,
idea
has
what's
no concept.
happening.
It makes me laugh every time. Oh, it's a
I
great
know.
show. I love it. I love
Yes.
it.
I love, yes. And I love that each one of them has like their own time period. And, but it just, I just really love that show. It cracks me up. And they talk about things, you know, and especially the one guy from like the 90s who talks about like Enron being the end thing. And
Oh.
it's stuff like that, you know, like the decade. You're like, oh, you poor sweet little lamb. You have no idea. But yes, Ghosts, the TV show, both of them British. It's on British is on Max, formerly known as HBO Max, and the American one is on Paramount Plus or just CBS if you watch CBS. So I highly recommend both of those. They're good. They're easy shows. They don't take much energy to watch. They're just like 30-minute deals. It's not a big deal. Insidious
Oh.
scared the shit out of me. That's like one of the, oh my gosh. And this one, it's like ghosts slash demons dealing with like astral projection, which creeps me out. This whole like astral projection is like, what? And the fact that the kid is doing it while he's sleeping and doesn't even realize it. And then it's like, oh, you've wandered too far from your body and you can't get back. And so you're in a coma. And all these people are trying to use your body as their vessel. Like, to me, that's just like that, terrifying. That whole movie. And then, yes, that it did. It just scared the shit out of me. What, until it got to the end. The end got a little bit much for me, where I was like, okay. You got this the demon thing at the end got a little bit much, where I was like, okay, this is a little
It's like
cheesy.
we've gone too far. Okay.
Yeah, okay, now we've crossed over into ridiculous, but but the whole premise of astral projection and that you could accidentally do it in your sleep and
Yeah, that's
wander
creepy.
too far in your astral projection and you don't even know it, and then your body is just left because your consciousness is not even there, and so all these spirits are trying to come into your body and use it as a vessel to keep you out, and that you could be stuck out in that the it was called the Further, I think, in the movie.
Oh, I don't remember. It's been too long,
But
but
you could
yeah.
be stuck
Could
out
be
in
stuck there.
there. Yeah. For a, it's just like, to me, that was like, that's weird. Ah. And then plus it was just like the stuff that, you know, the creepiness. The movie was creepy to begin with, you know, because it had like the shit, like little things hiding behind curtains and stuff like that. That
Right.
stuff creeps me out when you're just like you said, kind of like in Hill House, where it's like just a passing shot and there's a stupid little period child standing in the curtain and you're like, nah, you know, stuff like that. So Insidious is on that list for me because it's creepy. It's one of the creepy ones. And I'm just like, yeah, I screamed a lot during that movie. I was, yeah, lots of, God, that one was, yeah. As far
Okay.
as creepy ghosts, that one's on my list. Okay, so next, Beetlejuice.
Still my beating heart.
I mean, I feel
Oof.
like, because that one's turned into like a cult classic, I feel like,
It's so good.
and is now a Broadway musical. That is
And
fantastic.
they're making a sequel as soon as the strike is over.
Yes.
Part of it is
But
being filmed
yes.
in Vermont, which is flooded.
Flooded. But I kind of like that one too, because it's like the trope of like, oh, we have to get rid of these people who are inhabiting our home. That was our home while we were alive for 2 seconds. You know, it's that trope. There's always that trope too, you
Yep.
know. We don't want these alive people in our house. We want the house to our dead selves. So there's always that trope as well in the ghost
Right.
realm of media. And I kind of, you know. And I feel like that one too, because it is kind of campy. You know, they really don't mean them harm. They're just like, get out of our space. Until Beetlejuice actually comes along, and then he's like demented. You know,
He's the ghostest with the mostest.
he takes it to a whole new level. And I mean, but it also did give us scenes like that, the Deo scene, you know. I mean, that
Damn.
one, yes. So
No, I'm
everybody, it's like that one, that song was ruined forever by that one scene. But yes, Beetlejuice is on my list because I mean, that one, I just feel
I
like
love it. I love Beetlejuice. And
I
I'm
do
gonna watch
too.
it again soon because I haven't seen it in a while.
I feel like that one's on my Halloween list. Like, I've got like a list of movies for October, you know, Halloween time. And that
Right.
one's on my
That's
list.
on my
Okay.
list, yeah.
Yeah. Next one is Corpse Bride.
Ooh, nice.
That one, when it first came out, turned into something that I was not expecting. I was not expecting it to be a murder mystery,
Right.
which it totally was. And I'm here for that. I'm here for ghosts who are like keen on solving their own murders.
I
That's what
mean,
I am.
I would like to think that if I were murdered, I would be a ghost just trying to solve mine as well. So,
Be
same.
like, come on, people, get on it, solve my murder.
Yeah, like, hello, right here. Clue, clue.
Right, yes. But that was, and I really like that because I like the fact that the Land of the Dead was way more colorful and exciting
Yeah.
than the Land of the Living. They were all blah and boring. It's
Yep.
just like, come on.
Which accurate.
It was just like, yes, Corpse Bride by Tim Burton. That one was, you know, and of course, Danny Elfman always does his music, which I always thoroughly enjoy Danny Elfman's music. He's really good at composing. I enjoy it. But yeah, Corpse Bride, I just. I'm when I saw that they were doing when it came out, I was and saw it was another stop motion. I was like, oh, because I just love Nightmare Before Christmas
I
so
know, yeah.
much. It's like a special place in my heart always. And I feel like this one, I feel like this one's kind of a sleeper. I feel like, you know, the story was really good. It was, in fact, it was based on like a Jewish folk tale.
Oh, I don't know that I knew that.
Apparently, yes, I was when I was reading up on it.
So you're
Oh,
saying
speaking of that,
it's a Hanukkah movie?
perhaps, even though it takes in Victoria times. Oh, I don't really don't have really a whole lot of sources, just Wikipedia, IMDb, and Ranker.
Right.
Nothing major. But it said that when he was filming Nightmare Before Christmas, somebody was telling him this like Jewish kind of folk tale about this, and this is where he got the idea to do Corpse Bride.
Ah,
And so then he
okay.
put his own spin on it, kind of thing. So,
Very cool. I need to rewatch it. I haven't watched that, I guess, since it came out, honestly. I liked it. I thought it was really good. Not super great at rewatching movies.
right. I mean,
But
it's not
I
like something
should.
I
It's
watch
good.
all the time, but I've watched it enough that I'm just like, I just really like this. And the way it ends, you know, she figures out who kills her, and then it's like she's at peace, and she turns into butterflies, and then she flies off, and it's just like, oh. She got it. She got, you know, it's just one of those where you're like, oh, that sweet. Okay, so this next one, it's really just kind of encompasses all of this one.
Okay.
The Headless Horseman. Just
Oh, yes.
any of them, really.
The
But specifically two of them,
Okay.
The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad.
Yes, I was gonna say, mention that one because that's one of the few DVDs I still own because I love
And
that cartoon
the
cartoon.
Johnny Depp one,
And the
Sleepy
Johnny Depp
Hollow.
with that had an obscene amount of blood, like an
Which was
obscene
like, I'm
amount
here
of
for it.
blood for no reason at all. Just suddenly
It
blood
leaned
is
into
everywhere,
it.
and you're like, I don't really know where this came from, but okay.
It leaned into that ridiculousness. And I'm just like,
You know,
I'm here for that. I mean,
I am
whatever.
not a huge Johnny Depp fan. I
Me
don't think
either.
he's excellent in everything. One Jack Sparrow was sufficient for me. I didn't need more because it was fun
Right.
and interesting in the first one, but I needed no more. But like generally, I'm like, meh. But in that movie,
Right.
I'm like, no, you're right. You got this one right. Okay.
Yes. So yeah,
Ah,
just the
nice.
Headless Horseman, that story in general. I mean,
I don't think we're too far from Sleepy Hollow.
thank you, Washington Irving. I mean, yeah, all of it, like the story, the written story, you know, I don't know why I like it so much, just because it's just, I don't know, it's kind of.
Honestly, I think it's almost everyone's first foray into scary, like as a kid. Like
Yeah.
that's the first, and it's a safe scary because it's not you. Like it's very
Right.
specific. This one person is being haunted, and it's spooky without going too far, I guess.
Right.
I think is what it is.
Yeah. But
Because
yeah,
in this specific,
specifically those two, Ichabod, Adventures
love
of Ichabod and Mr. Toad. I mean, how could you go
I
wrong
remember.
with Bing Crosby singing about your demise?
So I don't know if this happens in school anymore. I have no children, but when I was in elementary school, we had a class called library where we went to the library. It's like, I don't know, once a week probably, who knows? I have no actual
Yeah.
memory. And like a lot of it, we did learn the Dewey Decimal System. We learned how to find things. Like there was a lot of, like we learned
Right.
library crap. But the things I specifically remember about library class is that that is where you would get to watch Casey at Bat, the cartoon,
Yes.
and The Legends of Sleepy Hollow. I remember
Yes.
specifically watching those because you got it. That was like, yes.
Yes.
It's always exciting when they pulled the TV out. It's like,
And you're like on the little rolly cart, and
on
you're
the
like,
little rolly cart,
yes,
you're like,
it's
I
TV
get to
day.
watch a TV show at this library. So.
You're like, it's TV show day, yes. But I also just love in Sleepy Hollow, like Christopher Walken is the
Right.
headless horseman. Like
Oh God.
whole thing is just like it's like, oh, he piled down his teeth, and it's like, what the hell is this? But I'm here for it. It's just, I don't know. All of it is just, they took it to like the next level. It was really like, wow, man, they really went hard on these backstories about some lady getting impregnated by a guy and they didn't want nobody to know about it. And somebody's an heir. And I mean, it was just all kinds of crazy. So, yes, I highly,
Excellent.
those were my two top
Excellent.
choices for that specific ghost.
Love it. Love it. All right, what's
Yes.
next? What's next?
Casper.
I was waiting. I was like, they don't have the, I forget what that
No.
kid's name is. He literally had a 5-minute scene and the whole world of tween girls fell in love.
Devon Sawa.
Thank you. I couldn't think of his name.
Yes.
Oh, Devon Sawa. He's like, I didn't have to do anything other than.
Even voice the ghost.
No. He just did a weird little slow dance or whatever.
I know. Could you imagine, like, that was the easiest money I've ever made in my life.
He's like, and the whole world fell in love. Okay.
Yes. And I became the it teen kid for the 90s.
Yep.
And then I went on to do Final Destination.
Well, you know, talk
I mean,
about
jeez.
mind fucks, but yeah.
But that's also like the trope, too, is like with this one, it was like ghosts who don't remember who they were.
Oh, right.
So it's like, I'm just a ghost. Like, I don't remember who I was
It
or what
was
happened
so
to me.
sad because he'll be like,
It
I remember
was.
when he was talking to, and it was cold, and I was really cold, and you're like,
I
oh,
know. I know. It's just like, I cried. I
me
remember it.
too. I
I
cried.
cried. I was, ooh, yeah. 12 and 13-year-old Claire, however old I was, it was like, I cried. Like,
Same.
damn.
Same.
And then the whole like when her dad died, when the other ghosts like
Oh, God.
accidentally kill her dad, and
Yep.
it's like whoops, and it's like, oh my God, this is terrible.
Yes.
And then he gives the one bottle up to save her dad so
Yep.
he can never be human, and it's like, this is so depressing. This movie took a turn. It took such a turn. But then Eric Idle was in that movie, and it's.
That's right, I'd forgotten that.
I know,
Oh,
it's just like he was such a surprise for that movie. It's like random British dude. Just random side character. Okay. Next is Paranorman.
Paranorman. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
That one was another one of those kids movies that was like a surprise for me. That, you know, it's that cartoon, but then you're like, wow, this movie went hard with its deeper meaning. Because it's the boy who sees ghosts, but he doesn't fit in.
Right.
And they all think he's weird. And then it all of a sudden turns into this, oh, I didn't read the story to the dead people. And so now this 300-year-old witch is going to come and destroy our town. And the zombies come back. And then they're like, no, we wanted to tell you, you need to fix this. Because we were horrible fucking people and we killed this child. Because she was weird.
Right.
And it's like, whoa, what? This, again, took a turn where I'm like, oh, shit. So it's like this boy is like, oh, so you want me to reconcile this town's shitty past,
Yes.
for what you did, I see. Okay, yeah. But then he, finds out that this witch who's gonna come destroy the town is like his ancestor and he has the same power she did and how what they killed her for. And
Right.
it's like, wow, this is wow, you all went hard with this storyline. Damn. Like, yeesh. But then it's like the whole time he can talk to his dead grandmother. And I'm like, that's kind of cool. I want to talk to my dead grandmother. Like, hey, Nanny, what's happening? And she can like give him advice. At least that's handy, But yeah, that was, again, that was one of those. I think I just went like, oh, hey, yeah, I'll go see this. And then it was like, wow, this was not what I was expecting with this movie. This was one I just watched recently.
Okay.
Okay, this one on my list. This is probably the most recent one out of the bunch. The Black Phone.
The what?
The Black Phone.
The black phone? I don't think I've heard of that one.
Yes. Ethan Hawke. Actually, okay, spoilers on this one. Yeah, because when did this come out? This was probably the most recent one. Ethan Hawke plays child. Okay, this one came out in 2021. So
Oh, okay.
he kidnaps children. He's a child serial killer.
Oh,
He
well, that's
kidnaps,
dark.
yes, he kidnaps boys who walk alone, who seem like they're loners, who don't, have a lot of friends. But he always approaches them. He's got this van, he's got a rapist van. Shock, surprise. And he's got these black balloons and he like douses them with something that makes him pass out. He takes them and keeps them in his house and in his basement. And so this one kid that he kidnaps and is in his basement, he's got him like down there with like a mattress. And there's a black phone on the wall, and the phone will ring, and it's voices of these boys that he's taken in the past. Like, I mean, this kid knows these boys because they're from the neighborhood.
Right.
These are all boys that have just gone missing and they're dead now. And so, but they're like talking to him, like walking him through like how to survive.
Okay.
So these ghosts are like helping him get through this, helping him. But Ethan Hawke also has these creepy masks, and I hate masks.
No, hate hard pass.
And like, so, like, you can take the bottom half out of it, and like, so one part will be smiling, and then you can take it out and put another one that's like frowning. I'll
Oh.
have to send you, I'll, yeah, on the
Oh.
photos on that one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so it's like at one point the kid's like trying to get out. He can walk up the stairs, but then Ethan Hawke is just sitting there in the chair with this fucking mask on his face asleep. But then like the whole time, like his sister, this kid's sister, is like trying to tell the police, like, this is what I saw, and so they're trying to find him, and but the whole thing is the ghost of these kids that he has killed in the past have trying to like help him. They call on this phone, which is doesn't have any, it's like it's not really plugged in. It's just like the phone will just randomly ring and he'll pick it up and it'll be some kid that he knows and some bully or something like something like that, and he'll just be talking to him and be like, this is what you need to do, or you need to notice this, or you need to something like that to help him get out of this situation. And it was actually a pretty good movie. It was on Peacock. Do you have Peacock? I think Peacock has
I
it.
do.
You should watch it.
Okay,
It's
I'll add
a
it to
little
my list.
intense, but that one to me was like, ooh. I mean, I because you know me, I'm into serial killer movies, so
Well, yes, I mean, yeah.
yeah. But it was, yeah, the mask to me part was like, that's creepy. I don't like masks anyway.
No, not at all.
But I do always enjoy when ghosts are like trying to help people and not hurt them. That
It's a nice
also to me is,
change. It's a good trope.
yes, yeah, to me it's always like, oh, I want to help you get out. Or it is like anytime it's like this person is doing bad and these other ghosts are trying to like keep somebody else from having the same fate that they had.
Right,
That's a
right.
good trope for me too. I like that kind of trope. And last but certainly not least, Ghostbusters.
Da-da-na-na-na-na.
Because
Da-da-na-na-na-na. Na-na-na-na.
Slimer was like, I love
I
Slimer
love
as a
Slimer.
child. Because, okay, so the first one came out the year I was born in 84.
Oh God, is it really that old? I love that movie,
Yes.
and I had no idea it was. I was just a
Yes.
baby.
Yeah, the first one came out the year I was born. I remember Dad taking us to see the second one
Wow, okay.
in the movie theater. Or at least me. I can't remember if Walt was there or not. I remember Dad taking me to see the second one in the movie theater. So I remember that whole Statue of Liberty scene. Like, you know. And then, for those of you who don't remember, they turned it into a cartoon that came on Saturday mornings
Loved. And
called.
Slimer was a character. He's like a pet, a
Yes. And
mascot.
that's, yes. And it was called The Real Ghostbusters. And Slimer was like their pet. And it was just like, that's like Slimer. And he would just like be there in their little, you know, that
The
their
firehouse.
firehouse thing. Yeah. And he would just, yes. And that's when it was just like, oh, Slimer was like the best ghost.
I know. I loved Slimer. Well, that was like, Beetlejuice got turned into a cartoon and Beetlejuice became like the fun
Yes.
friend companion of
Yeah,
Lydia. And
Lydia.
I loved it.
Yes.
And she would call Beetlejuice in every episode. And you're like, yeah.
Yes. Yes, I remember.
It's
Yes, the
showtime.
cartoon.
Oh, loved, love.
Yes.
Fond memories.
Yes. I did love the Beetlejuice cartoon. Excellent. Yes. But yeah, Ghostbusters has always been
All
like
right,
one of my
so very important.
favorites.
What did you
Yes.
think of the all-female Ghostbusters?
I had fun with it.
I thought it was hilarious. That was great.
I
But did you
had not.
watch the most recent one? The most recent Ghostbusters that came
Oh, with the
out?
kids? I did not. Have not seen it.
Oh my God, Clay, you gotta watch it. It's really good. It gives you
Is
all
it?
the
Okay.
feels, man.
Okay.
I mean,
I think it was.
it's
I think I
heart-wrenching,
forgot
but it's
about it.
really
Honestly, I
good.
forgot about it.
So good. Okay, go watch that movie and you'll add it to your
Okay.
list.
Okay. Yes. No, but yeah, Ghostbusters has always had like a special place in my heart. Because I don't even remember how old I was when I watched the first one. I was young.
Yeah, same. I can remember going to Blockbuster didn't exist yet. The Video
Right.
Link was the name of the store.
Yes.
And we'd go there and I would be allowed to get two videos. And I would almost always get Mapletown, like one of their
Right.
cartoon. There's always
Right.
multiple options, but I'd get a
Yes.
Mapletown and I'd almost always get Ghostbusters or Ghostbusters 2. Loved it so much. So
But
good.
yes, Slimer was always the best ghost for me growing up. Love Slimer. But yeah, that's my list of ghosts in media that I love.
I love it. That was excellent, Claire. Thank you. I
You're welcome.
love most of those too. Well,
And
I
if
guess,
you've got a list, let us know. I want to know
yes,
your
tell us your
list.
favorite ghosts in media.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's a lot.
I like that. I mean, I'm not saying that mine's the be all end all, because I'm not. I mean, I know people have differing opinions, but I like to know other people's opinions because I'll probably agree with you on some of them and be like, oh, yeah, that one too.
Let's say, I think random, let's see. I mean, because we talked Hill House, obviously. That's the end all be all for me. But What Lies Beneath fucked me up.
I forgot about that one.
Oh,
Oh, how did I forget about
that
that
totally would
one?
have made the list, huh?
Oh, it
It
would
was
have.
like,
That scared the
damn, it
shit out
scared
of
the shit out of
me.
me. And I'm like, vengeful ghost. I'm here for that too, by the
Yes.
way. It's a good
Oh, that
trope.
should have been on my list. I totally forgot about how did I forget about that? We went to the movies and saw that. Damn it. Anyway, yeah, honorable mention because I forgot about
But
it.
also like the Sixth Sense, that those ghosts fucked me up.
I've
It
thought about
creeped me
putting
out.
that on my list, but I feel like it's become such a cliche
To me,
now.
it's less Bruce Willis than it is
Right.
like the bicyclist who died or the girl who was Munchausen by proxy to death or whatever.
Yes.
Like that, to me, those things were far more terrifying than Bruce Willis, whatever.
Oh, yeah. No, Bruce Willis was not to me. No.
But
It was
oh,
just
but
like the
like,
ghost that would just show up, like you
and it
turn
would
a
get go,
corner and there would be
and
something there,
he'd
and
be
then
like
it's like turn,
breathing so cold.
and you're just like, you turn around and the back of his head's missing, and you're just
Like,
like, oh
ah.
God. Yeah, I almost put that on there, but I feel like Sixth Sense has become such a cliche these days.
Fair, fair.
Everybody's always hating on M. Night Shyamalan, and I'm like, that one was,
I
I
heard
just.
it's like, shut up. You loved it when it came out. You're just being all like,
Right.
yeah. But like, when it came out, you were like, holy hell, I didn't see it coming. So like,
Right.
whatever. That's
Exactly.
fine. Okay. Well, it's time for this week's sweary affirmation, Claire.
Yes, let's do it.
Are you ready?
Yes.
You are a freaking badass legend. Make today your bitch.
Love it.
All
I love it.
right. It's time for tarot time with April. A spooky, spooky. Gonna turn the moonlight on, maybe. Here we go. All right, Claire,
Yes.
tell me when to stop.
All right.
I feel like the only thing to sing right now is Scooby-Dooby-Doo,
Where
where are
are
you?
you?
We've got
Got
some work
some
to
work to
do
do
now.
now.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo. I see you. You know, I would say that Riley Sager's books are sort of Scooby-Doo as a general rule. It's like there's supernatural things afoot, and then it's, oh,
It's a
no, it's
person.
a person.
It's not really,
Did I do this right?
except for that one book.
Right, which was a weird plot. Just like, holy fuck, we went the other way.
Know, that shocked the shit out of me. I was like, oh, we're really into paranormal now. Okay.
We're starting this week off with the star.
Ooh, the star.
And then we will have the Seven of Pentacles. And we end with the sun.
Ooh, the star and the
The
sun.
star and the sun. Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. There, near the end, I remember that. There's the star. Okay. I need you to know that in the other, in the wider weight, whatever tarot deck, she's naked,
Okay.
like soup's naked. Just letting you know.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Like
Let's see.
totally naked. Gotcha.
Beautiful. That's what this card is. Hope, beauty, faith restored. This card is like a healing balm on an old wound. Just when you think everything is lost and the dark and twisties have taken you as far as you can go, you see the twinkling of the beautiful stars and your heart lifts. So the star is the beginning. It's the first drink after days, months, years of being thirsty. So this sounds good.
Yeah, I dig it.
Hope and beauty and faith restored. So go ahead, restore my faith in
Right.
all the things.
Right.
You know, I'll take that. Hope and beauty. The Seven of Pentacles. Oh, they have this one all the time. Why do we? Because this is the little red hen. So about, you know, hard work and waiting for the work to become something tangible. So, okay. Cool. So cool. Hope, beauty, and faith restored, a healing balm, and then we'll put in the work and get our reward because that's how it
There we
works for little
go.
red hen. Just saying. And then we end with the sun, which, if I recall, is a good card and is about everything is moved into the light, and the sunshine is reaching even the darkest of places. burning away all of the sadness, lies, broken trusts, and broken hearts. So I'm going to go with this is a really good week.
I know.
And cool. I need one of those. So yay us. It's about damn time.
I know, right?
Right. What will our next topic be, Claire? What does the
No.
Wheel of Fate have in store for
I
us?
don't know.
I don't either. Are we ready?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yep, let's do
All right. Here goes nothing. Our next topic will be, ooh,
it.
villains.
Villains.
Villains. Well, that can go a lot of places.
It can.
Have to pick some villains for next week.
Because we've only had that one other time,
That's
so.
true. And I think, I don't even remember exactly what I did. I think I did some of my favorite villains. I
You did,
did. I did. So now I have to do something
I did
different.
Annie Wilkes,
That's right, because she was one of my favorite villains.
because she was based on a true person.
So that's exciting. We'll have to see what happens for our next one. A nice true villain story. Ooh.
Yes.
All right. Well, I guess until next time, you can find us in all the things and at all the places at.
Brunch and Judge.
Please follow, like, comment, subscribe, yada, yada, yada. And send us your topics for the wheel or any story ideas or any ghosts that you think we should have covered so that we can cover them next time. You can
Yes.
send those to us at.
Brunchandjudge@gmail.com.
So until next time, keep on brunching.
And keep on judging.
Bye.
Bye.